expansion of transit routes. Anti-war activists rally in New York City to protest arms supplies by the U.S. and its allies to Ukraine, blaming the conflict on such moves. And marking the 6th anniversary of Catalonia's failed independence referendum, thousands march in Barcelona chanting anti-government slogans. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on World News. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson says that Tehran is against any geopolitical changes in the South Caucasus region. Nasser Kanani said in his weekly presser, Tehran supports expansion of transit routes and networks in the region in line with regional interests. That was in reference to Turkey's proposal for a new regional road link. Kanani also called for the differences, including those between Baku and Yerevan, to be resolved through regional frameworks. The spokesman said Tehran is against foreign intervention and presence in the Caucasus. He added Tehran supports proposals for a framework of dialogue among the three South Caucasus countries of Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia, and neighboring countries of Iran, Russia, and Turkey. The format aims to address security concerns and promote economic and transport ties. Our correspondent, Gisumisha Ahmadi, earlier joined us with more details on what Iran's foreign ministry spokesman had to say about the situation in the South Caucasus.
Iran strongly emphasized that any kind of differences should be discussed and resolved at the negotiating table rather than the battlefield, and of course has always proposed to mediate and negotiate in order for the resolution of the problems between both sides, Iran and Azerbaijan. Also, there was talks about a corridor, and Iran once again reiterated that it strongly opposes any geopolitical change to the region, but any transit routes that would benefit the countries in the region and the nations, of course, is something that Iran would support. In the meantime, Iran is also offering humanitarian aid to the Armenians that have been affected in the South Caucasus. And because of the recent developments, of course, the Iranian Red Crescent Society has been sending aid to Armenians in the region. In the meantime, Azerbaijan and Iran are on the path to have their missions back stationed in their capitals, in the respective capitals.
Iran's army is about to hold large-scale joint drone drills across large parts of the country's central and southern areas.
100 drills will be conducted as of tomorrow morning. That's what we're planning to do. The drills will be conducted both in daylight and at night and in the electronic warfare atmosphere. So we should see how long our drones endure when it comes to electronic warfare.
Drills commander says Iran is boosting a defense capabilities against any possible threat. Rear Admiral Sayari stressed Iran has made great progress in the drone industry in recent years, placing itself among the strongest in the region. The Iranian Army's Navy, Ground, and Air Forces will be taking part in the exercises starting Tuesday. The drills aim to assess various types of homegrown unmanned aircraft, including reconnaissance and combat drones. Tehran's always stressed its military power poses no threat to anyone and serves as a deterrent. Journalist and political commentator Mohsen Abbas says that Iran needs a very sophisticated defense mechanism because it is surrounded by the U.S. and Israeli bases all around its borders.
Iran has a need for this military hardware and this defense of a very highly technological nature because they are up against virtually every border from Afghanistan through to Azerbaijan, through to Iraq and the Gulf itself. Iran is surrounded by the Anglo-Zionist imperialist military bases and missiles themselves. But of course, missiles is just one aspect. The standing army amounts to at least a million personnel in itself, so huge numbers. They've also advanced in terms of naval power, which they've been flexing their muscles on over the last kind of year or so, particularly with what I would describe as unconventional naval power, as well as the conventional sort. The most unconventional being speedboats, literally, which are now armed with very sophisticated missile capability, which is a threat to even the Seventh Fleet of the Americans, which is based out there in the Persian Gulf, in Bahrain, and other ports. The bottom line is that Iran has a solution to virtually everything that the Americans and their Atlantic partners have in terms of their belligerent efforts to dominate that part of the world.
Tehran is hosting the 37th International Islamic Unity Conference. The annual conference is organized by Iran-based World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought and takes place during the Islamic Unity Week, marking the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Yusuf Misha Ahmadi has your story.
Over 200 Muslim scholars and researchers have once again gathered in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this time to take part in the 37th International Islamic Unity Conference, an annual event that provides an opportunity for them to share their views on recent political developments affecting the Muslim world, and also a platform that allows them to bridge the gaps and promote solidarity among Muslims worldwide.
Unity among Muslim nations across the world is very important. We have to work together and focus on the views that we share.
It's the first time I am participating in this International Islamic Unity Conference. And the reason is that it's very important to for the unity of Muslim Ummah.
We can exchange some ideas, some reflection, and we are very happy to be in Iran with all these ulama and mashayikh to discuss about the Muslims' union we need now, because its period is very important, and we need to be in union and to have many reflection and strategy for the future.
We read one Quran. We believe for one God. We have one prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is our way. We have yes, mashabs, Sunni or Shia or others, but also we one Ummah, and we need to speak about this, and we need like this in the our participants to give the good picture about our community.
Very interestingly, Islam takes its name after a value system. It's called peace, and peace is what everybody needs, every family needs, every community needs. We are here in this conference, I believe, to demonstrate this value and to be the ambassadors of these values, especially for the much needed peace in the world.
Views that were reiterated in the opening address by Iran's president, who also emphasized on the liberation of Al-Quds and Palestine as the most important challenge in the Muslim world.
Unity in the Muslim world becomes more important day by day in the face of the enemy's plots. Sacrilegious acts of desecration of the Holy Quran, heinous crimes by Takfiri terrorist groups, and normalization deals with the Israeli occupying regime are only a few to name. A new world order is emerging, and the Muslim Ummah must establish itself as a key player in this new order.
The enemies want to divide the Muslim world in order to stop the Muslim community from achieving its goals. But despite all the efforts of the world powers and the United States, Muslims will always be a united community. Solidarity among Muslims is important.
Participants explained that becoming united means cohesion and solidarity and safeguarding the interests of the Islamic Ummah, which is demonstrated by adherence to the Holy Quran and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which is why the annual conference organized by the Iran-based World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought takes place during the birth anniversary of the Prophet, referred to as Islamic Unity Week. The 37th International Conference on Islamic Unity started with online panels on September 28th. The event will continue until October the 3rd. Yusuf Misha Ahmadi, Tehran.
And Iran is also hosting the 5th Mustafa Prize Ceremony. That is a science and technology award granted to top researchers and scientists from across the Muslim world. It's been held since 2015 biannually, and this year's ceremony is held in the Iranian city of Isfahan. Our correspondent, Mati Abbasian, is now going to join us from the central city there for more details. Hello, Matthew. Hope you're safe and doing well. Tell us about the Mostafa Prize and what it's all about.
This ceremony recognizes and honors the top works of scientists and researchers of the Muslim world. So far, since September 28th, that the official, let's say, that the Mostafa Prize, the fifth edition, was inaugurated. So far, there have been different sorts of meetings between scientists and researchers, Muslim scientists and researchers, who have traveled to Iran to participate in this event. The opening ceremony of the Mostafa Prize was inaugurated by the President of the Islamic Republic, Mr. Ebrahim Raisi, who highlighted the fact that the role of Muslim scientists and researchers and scholars has been very important in the history of mankind, and he urged them, or better to say, called on all Muslim scientists and researchers to continue their efforts in order to give, you know, to help humanity more. Now, the following days after the inauguration ceremony were different technical meetings between Iranian scientists and researchers, university heads, and other scholars, and the high-profile, scholars who have traveled to Iran. Different topics were discussed. Among them, the most important ones were nanotechnology, biomedicine, and biotechnology, as well as AI.
All right, thank you, Matthew. We're going to swing over now, if we could, to Karaj, just outside of Tehran, where we're joined by Mr. Farshid Balgharian, political analyst there. Hello, Mr. Balgharian. Do we have there he is. Hope you're safe and doing well out there in Karaj, not too far away from where we're at. Now, the Iranian president, you just heard our correspondent, hail the role of Iranian scholar, or not Iranian, pardon, Muslim scholars and intellectuals and scientists to the realm of science. I like to take it a step further and say science will not be nearly where it is today without Islamic contribution to it, whether it's math, science, nanotechnology, whether it's physics, or the stars and planets?
It's better to say the Muslims and the Asians together, because, you know, opening ceremony is being held. But the fact is, the venue is very important. Isfahan, what we call it, we dubbed it as the half of the world, you know, it's our proverb. Anyway, Isfahan is the center of the perfection of Islamic and Persian science and in the Safavid era. So the fact is, right now, if you are reliant, if you you have the reliance to the other state technology and science, it means you don't have any independency. Now, the countries like Iran, such Iran and the other Muslim countries, any Asian countries, they are trying to fly over the path through independency. This is very important because, you know, science can produce, can lead to the power, and the power is the most important value, or the most important variable in the international relation and the anarchic international system, world system. So your reporter says a very beautiful word, mankind. Mankind is very important because, you know, if you remember the 16,000 Europe era, with the most important philosophers such as Francis Bacon, Immanuel Kant, Descartes, they used to use this type of word, mankind. They wanted to dominate the nature and dominate the universe with science, and to change the type of the mankind, a new formation of mankind. They call it the Great Instauration. What nowadays the globalists are trying to implement it by grand reset. What they are doing by famine, by world famine, by GMO products, by technology, by artificial intelligence, by insurgency, and many kind of, five generation of the war. So science can lead us to power, and we can use this power for balancing in international level. And not only in the defense system, not only in the cyber, in technology, in artificial intelligence, in medical, in nuclear, and even for humanitarian sciences, we need power. And for power, for producing power, we need the science. This is very important. And this kind of the award and prizing ceremonies, especially in this venue like Isfahan, is very important that to produce science, to introduce ourselves as we are the center of the science of the world and used to be. Anyway, thank
okay,
you.
Mr. Balgharian, pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us on the program. Mr. Farshid Balgharian, political analyst there, joining us out of Karaj. Meanwhile, in the U.S., New Yorkers have taken to the streets to show anger at NATO and the country's military and financial support for Ukraine.
Unification of peace forces in the United States, recognizing that it's the United States and NATO who are the to blame and the fundamental cause of the conflict in Ukraine, and that if we can force the U.S. government to stop sending money and weapons to Ukraine, the war will end the very next day.
The NATO is one of the fundamental arms of the imperialist world system, and in that system, its interest lies in the perpetuation of imperial capital, the extraction of labor and wealth from the dispossessed, and the spread of weapons intended to destroy and to suppress the world's working poor.
Protesters urge the government to spend on crucial sectors like education and housing. They're also blaming the U.S. and NATO for the conflict in the East European country. Since 2022, Washington has provided over $75 billion in aid to Kiev. U.S. as NATO allies, especially European countries, have also sent billions of dollars worth of military aid to Ukraine. This has sparked protests in those countries as well. Russia has repeatedly condemned the West's military support for Ukraine, saying it will only further prolong the conflict. Thousands of people flocked to the streets of Catalonia's capital to mark the sixth anniversary of its failed independence referendum of 2017. Pro-independence demonstrators waved the Catalan flag and chanted anti-Spain slogans as they marched through the streets of Barcelona. Spain's flag was also set ablaze during the rally, as protesters are calling for Catalonia's independence still. Back in 2017, a referendum was held on the region's independence, which was declared unconstitutional by the central government in Madrid. Move also led to the arrest and ouster of more than 20 Catalan leaders. And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Unity, secret behind the might of Islamic world. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, is the best opportunity to pay attention to his human building teachings. As you know, the birthday of the Seal of the Prophets has been mentioned in two dates. According to the Sunni Muslims, he was born on the 12th of the Islamic month of Rabiul Awwal, while Shia Muslims maintain that the Prophet was born on the 17th of the month. Anyway, the great leader of the Islamic Revolution and the reviver of Islam in the modern era, Imam Sayyid Ruhullah Musavi Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, named the time span between the two days as the Unity Week to unite Muslims of all denominations in the face of the sworn enemies. On December 29th, 1981, the Imam said, "We shout that we should all be together to have Unity Week. Our religion is the same. Our Quran is the same. And our Prophet is the same." Every year, upon the initiative of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the International Islamic Unity Conference is held in order to bring Muslim thinkers and researchers together. In 1990, Ayatollah Khamenei ordered the formation of the World Forum for Proximity of the Islamic Sects, enhancement of familiarity, awareness, and deepening of comprehension among the followers of the Islamic sects and bolstering of Islamic Brotherhood are among the goals of this forum. The biggest harm for Islamic communities is to turn differences into spite and hostility. The enemies of Islam have tried, since the time of the Prophet, to sow discord among Muslims in a bid to reach their unholy goals. In the advent of Islam, the Prophet tried to create unity and affection between those who were the inhabitants of Medina, Ansar or helpers, and the migrants, Muhajirin, who had migrated from Mecca to Medina. The Seal of the Prophets, as per the verses of the Noble Quran, called on Muslims to cling to the divine cord and avoid any discord and disunity. Thus, Muslims became a monolithic united nation, Ummah, who in many cases triumphed over enemies. Enemies, however, understood the mystery of Muslims' victories very soon. Hence, they left no stone unturned to cause rifts among the ranks of Muslims. As soon as a variety of narratives were put forward about the teachings of the Quran and the statements of the Prophet, differences increased among Muslims. The biggest blows have been dealt to Islam and Muslims with the same differences. The message of the Islamic Revolution, since day one, has been unity and solidarity. The Islamic Revolution has always emphasized on tolerance and refraining from animosity. Ayatollah Khamenei says in this regard, "One of the tools that have always been used by the enemies of Muslim nations is the issue of sectarian differences, Shia and Sunni and so on. They caused quarrel, create difference, cause brothers to fight with each other, magnify differences, highlight them, weaken commonalities and elements of unity, undermine them, magnify a petty thing, highlight it, trivialize so many commonalities between Sunni and Shia brothers, and weaken them. This is what has always been done. Now it is being done too." The message of the Islamic Revolution has always been unity. In fact, this revolution achieved victory through unity of all ethnicities and sects under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. In view of this, Imam Khomeini kept calling for unity and did his best to expand the pattern of unity among other Islamic nations. As the Imam would say, unity does not mean to put aside one's religion. Islamic unity means to converge around common strong points against common enemies. In view of the Imam, unity is the factor of power, and discord is the cause of weakness and annihilation. He used to warn that discord existing among Muslim nations has originated in either the betrayal of the leaders or their ignorance and unawareness. Imam Khomeini said that there is no Sunni and Shia, Arab and non-Arab in Islam. We are all brothers in Islam. In a society where people want to render services to Islam, such issues have no place. We should never cause differences. Once, he said, the Shia and Sunni brothers should refrain from any difference. Today, difference among us is only to the benefit of those who believe in neither Shia sect nor Hanafi sect or other sects. They want neither this nor that to exist. They have found a way to create difference among you and us. We should pay attention to the fact that we are all Muslims and we are all the people of the Quran and the people of Tawhid, monotheism. And we should make effort to render service for the Quran and Tawhid. Of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, the pure Muhammadan Islam is the only solution and remedy for the pains of the Islamic communities. The pure Islam brings about unity among all Muslims from any race, ethnicity, or language spoken. Imam Khomeini called the pure Muhammadan Islam is the Islam of the suffering poor, the Islam of the barefooted, the Islam of those who have been whipped during the bitter and shameful history of deprivation. It is the Islam that smashes modern capitalism and bloodthirsty communism. It is the obliterator of the Islam of luxury, the Islam of eclecticism, the Islam of compromise and abasement, and in short, the American Islam.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
There's a very interesting narration by Ibn Sa'd in Tabaqat, a very prominent book of history, where he talks about the story of Sahl Mawla Utaybah. He was from the Christian family. He was an orphan raised under the care of his father, his uncle. And his uncle was among those who used to actually read the Injil regularly. And when he also became, you know, old enough to read the Injil, one day he said, I just picked up the Bible of my uncle and started reading it. He says, until I came to a page where I realized that the writing were not that clear. So he said, when I moved it, I realized that it's actually it's not one page. Two pages have been glued together. You know, the uncle had basically glued them so that anyone else reading that will not read that page. But you know, young people are. So he tried to unglue it and opened up and started reading. And he says, when I started reading, I saw that that section had the description of the last prophet to come. And what was the description there? He says that it talks about this new prophet. Even the physical, you know, description of the prophet is there. He is neither short nor tall. His face is of fair complexion. He has two braids. Between his shoulder blades on the back would be the mark of Nubuwwat. And one of his characteristics is that he will not accept sadaqah at all for himself. And he will ride a donkey or a camel. He will even milk the sheep himself. And he will wear a robe which will have patches on it. And somebody who does something like that, you know, will never behave arrogantly. And indeed, this will be his lifestyle. And he is from the descendants of Ismail, and his name is Ahmad. This is what he read in that two pages which were glued. And he said, when I reached to that section, my uncle came in the room. And he was very angry. He hit me and he says, who allowed you to open these two pages that I had glued? And he says, but this contains the description of the prophet known as Ahmad. And the uncle says to the nephew, don't think about it because that prophet has not yet appeared. But at least this incident shows that, you know, in the Bible which existed among Arabs in Medina, the description of Rasulullah was there in a very, very detailed and clear form. This confirms the ayat which has been mentioned twice in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, as well as Surah An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ahlul Kitab, and he says, "Alladhina atainahumul kitab," those people whom we have given the scriptures, the Ahlul Kitab, "ya'rifunahu kama ya'rifuna abna'uhum." They know him, they know his description, the way they know their own sons. Means in their book, the description of the last prophet is so clear, it's as if they know their own sons. And this is where we come to realize by looking at this narration of Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, that, you know, the prophet was, you know, clearly described in the previous scriptures. Not only in the Bible, even in the Hindu books also, you will be able to see that. And as Quran says that, but when the prophet came, they denied him, they rejected him, and they said he's a sorcerer. Let us now continue. I mentioned earlier when I was quoting Isa ibn Maryam that when he talked about coming of the Comforter, the new prophet, he said something about him. He said that he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear from God, that shall he speak. There is another quotation in the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, where Musa alayhi salam talks about the future, the last prophet. And he also describes the same thing. He says, you know, God says about him that I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. It's amazing that these two statements from Isa alayhi salam, from Musa alayhi salam, that this last prophet will not speak from himself. Whatever he says will be based on the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These actually are the words from the first ayat of Surah Najm that are recited after the khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, referring to the people of Makkah, when Najm is a hawa, I swear by the star when it states, when it sets, ma walla sahibukum wa ma ghawa, your companion Muhammad has neither gone astray, nor has he erred in his actions. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَىٰ. And he does not speak after out of his own desire. Whatever he utters is nothing but a revelation that is revealed. Now, going back to the statement of Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our Prophet, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, that Muhammad does not speak out of his own accord or his desire. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. Whatever he says is based on wahy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we have to realize that, you know, the Shia mazhab is very firm on this issue. When we talk about the life of the Prophet, we don't divide it into official part of his life and, you know, personal aspects of his life. This is how some Muslims say, you know, you don't have to listen to everything that he says. Only when he is talking in his official capacity, then you have to obey. But when he talks as a Muhammad bin Abdullah, as the father of Fatima or the brother of Ali, that's a personal issue. And this is where we have to realize that Isa describes him as somebody who will never utter anything but from revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa confirms that. Surah Najm confirms that. And so for us, the Prophet is a prophet in any situation that you see him. Whether he is preaching on the minbar or leading an army in a battlefield. Doesn't matter, he is still a Nabi and we have to listen to him. Whether he is advising people to pray or and giving charity, or when he is declaring in Ghadir that I am appointing Ali as a Mawla just as I am your Mawla. It doesn't matter whether he is happy and he puts the kisa over him or himself and Fatima and Ali and Hassan and Hussein. Or he becomes angry and says, you know, move out of my room because you are disrespecting me. In all these situations, Muhammad is nothing illa Rasul. He is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you.
Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Mustafa Prize for Science and Technology. The Mustafa Prize is a top science and technology award granted biennially to the top researchers and scientists in the Islamic world by the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Mustafa Prize intends to promote and encourage research in Muslim societies through identifying, introducing, and praising the leading figures in science and technology within the Islamic world. Please stay with us. Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation has started its activities by laying emphasis on the development of science and technology in the Islamic world by adopting a non-profit approach and maintaining full independence in achieving its goals, revering the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and following Islamic teachings. The Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation started its activities within a framework honoring the scientists of the Islamic world and appreciating their efforts, along with training of future scientists worldwide. The Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation tries to develop cooperation, synergy, and convergence in the realm of modern science and new technologies, and also puts effort into making distinguished figures in science and technology role models within the world of Islam. The Mustafa Prize is a top science and technology award granted biennially to the top researchers and scientists in the Islamic world. Adorned with the name of the Holy Prophet of Islam and due to the Holy Prophet's emphasis on learning and understanding of science, the prize was named Mustafa, which means the chosen one. The Mustafa Prize intends to promote and encourage research in Muslim societies through identifying, introducing, and praising the leading figures in science and technology within the Islamic world. The prize was launched in 2012 and was approved in the resolution of the 15th session of ComsTech General Assembly meeting in 2016 by the science ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation member states. The Mustafa Prize nominees are selected from among the scholars of the Islamic world, including citizens of OIC member states and Muslims all over the world in the fields of nanoscience and nanotechnology, life and medical sciences and technology, information and communication science and technology, and basic and engineering sciences. We'll be right back. From 28th of September through to 4th of October 2023, the historic and cultural city of Isfahan hosts the fifth round of the Mustafa Prize for Science and Technology. The city of Isfahan is one of the most important centers of Islamic civilization, and the Chehel Sutun Palace in Isfahan is where the award ceremony takes place. The fifth Mustafa Prize award ceremony will take place on Monday, 2nd of October 2023, with over 1,000 prominent academics, scientists and researchers from the Islamic Republic of Iran and many other countries attending the ceremony in the city of Isfahan. Also, 130 special guests from 30 countries will be there. Top scientists, researchers and policymakers in science and technology will attend the ceremony. Also, 15 reporters and correspondents from Turkey, Malaysia, Algeria and other member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will attend the ceremony and provide media coverage for the event. From Islam's point of view, science and religion are like the two wings of a bird, which together can bring peace and harmony to human society. Science comes from intellect, and intellect has a very high status within Islam. There is no such thing as good science or bad science. Rather, how we choose to use science and technology can make it into good science or bad science. Islam tells us that we should only use science and technology for the betterment of mankind and for the benefit of all human beings. The Mustafa Prize is held biennially during the Islamic Unity Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The prize is awarded in the four categories of information and communication science and technology, life and medical science and technology, nanoscience and nanotechnology, and all areas of science and technology. These areas include the fields of natural sciences, mathematics and statistics, information and communication technologies, engineering, manufacturing, construction, agriculture, forestry, fisheries and veterinary sciences, health and welfare, as well as cognitive science and Islamic economics and Islamic banking. This year, more than 2,600 scientific and technological articles were submitted for the Mustafa Prize. Also, 202 prominent scientists acted as selectors and jury members to select the top three Muslim scientists living in Islamic countries and top two Muslim scientists living in non-Islamic countries. As far as scientists living in non-Islamic countries were concerned, the award this year was jointly given to Egyptian Professor Ahmad Hassan, who is a professor at Queen's University in Canada, for his work on mining software repositories, or MSR. MSR, Mining Software Repositories, is a software engineering field where software practitioners and researchers use data mining techniques to analyze the data in software repositories to extract useful and actionable information. Also, Iranian professor Omid Farrokhzad, a professor at Harvard University in the United States, also jointly received the prize for Islamic scientists living in non-Islamic countries. Professor Omid Farrokhzad is world renowned for his research on development of new drugs based on nanopolymers. He's very well known for his research in biotechnology field. As far as scientists living in Islamic countries were concerned, the prize was awarded to Professor Samia Khoury, a professor at Beirut University in Lebanon, for his novel research on multiple sclerosis, MS. Professor Samir Khoury's research has broken new grounds on the reasons for multiple sclerosis. Also, Turkish professor Murat Oysal was also awarded the prize. He's a professor at New York University and also lives in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates for his research on optical communication systems. The third prize was awarded to Professor Ahmad Fuzi Esmail. Born in Cambodia, he's the head professor at Malaysia Institute of Technology for his research on membrane technology.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Khamenei, leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the representatives of the people from the provinces of Sistan and Baluchistan and Fars Khorasan. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 11, 2023. As I said, it is impossible for the officials of any country to carry out big important tasks without the support of the people. The people must be behind them. The people must be alert, and the officials must not be neglectful. They must be awake. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "He who neglects the enemy will not be neglected by enemy." Nahjul Balagha, letter 62. If you fall asleep in your trench, it does not mean that your enemy has also fallen asleep in his trench. No, he may be awake. He may be watching you. He may take advantage of you being asleep. This is the fundamental issue. We must not be neglectful. We must be vigilant with regard to the enemy's plots. Does the enemy have plots? Yes, the enemy has plots. It has plans, and not just for us. Today, the U.S. has plans for the region, for Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, Afghanistan, and the countries in the Persian Gulf, which are its old traditional friends. It has plans for countries.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Now, our focus is not on the plans that it has for them, but what plans does it have for us? We are not uninformed about them. We aren't uninformed. Our intelligence sources have informed us that the U.S. government has created an organization in the U.S. called the Crisis Group. What does it do? The mission of this group is to create crises in countries, including our country. The mission of this group is to create crisis. They look for points that they think will spark a crisis in a country. They find these points and aggravate them. That is the mission of the crisis group in the U.S. They have gathered and thought about this. They have studied this and reached the conclusion that there are several crisis points in Iran that should be aggravated and activated. One point is ethnic differences, one is religious differences, and another is related to gender issues and women's issues. They want to aggravate these points in Iran and create crises. In this way, and through these crises, they want to harm our dear country.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.